So a few years ago, well, a little context. You know, this Sunday is All Saints Sunday. In the liturgical calendar, we begin with Advent, late November, early December. We move through Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, then we have this really long period that we call the season after Pentecost, and then we come to November. And in November, we have All Saints Day, which is November 1st, and All Saints Sunday, if All Saints Day does not fall on a Sunday. And then we close with Christ the King Sunday at the end of the liturgical season. And so today is All Saints Sunday. And so for the last few weeks, I've been thinking about All Saints Sunday, thinking about the folks in our family who have passed away this year, because that's what you do on All Saints Sunday. You remember those who have carried the torch of faith, who have finished the race, and have kept the faith. And so I've had this list on my desk. 17 people, now 19. Not just names on a piece of paper, but lives that have impacted ours and whose lives we will celebrate come this Saturday. And so as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about my own family. And I remember a few years ago sitting down in this box that my mom has of all the photo albums of our family. And there's lots of them because there's her side and then there's my dad's side. And so I'm looking through these albums and some of those pictures are yellowed and faded and I'm looking at these faces staring up at me. And I look at them and I think, I remember this person. I remember when. And then I look at that person and go, that person looks really familiar to me. And then I look at another person and go, who's that? And I get to my mom and dad and I say, okay, who is this? And they go, don't know. And I think that's the when you think about life, when someone dies, we hear the phrase, they passed away, right? And in some ways, when people pass away, it's not just their bodies that leave us, but with them go their experiences, their stories, and in some ways, it seems like they just fade into oblivion to the point where they're no longer remembered, as in the case of these faces in the photo album. And it leaves us in this really sad place. But then we hear these words from Revelation 21. Behold, I am making all things new. Because you see, from our side of heaven on this side, it looks like death is the end of everything. But I love this text from Revelation 21 because it's not people who pass away, it's death that passes away. It is death that is no more. And that God is making all things new. And so when I read this text, you know, what we do with Revelation sometimes is we make it future-oriented, right? It's something that's going to happen later. And certainly it will come to its full fruition when Jesus returns and restores and redeems everything, and it will be glorious. But if that were something of the truth, that it's just something in the future, then why did we sing, "This is the day of new beginnings"? Because it's based on Revelation 21:5. Because these are present promises as well. I want to look again at Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Keeping in mind that when Revelation was written, it was written in the late first century. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Romans. And Christianity was scattered, and Christians were persecuted at that time. Some of them physically, but some of them were having a hard time in the Roman Empire that day because they were being told they had to worship the emperor, call the emperor Lord and God. But they knew there was only one Lord, and that was Jesus Christ. And so it put them in conflict with their government. And so John, who writes the book of Revelation, He himself, because of being persecuted, is in exile on the island of Patmos. So he is writing this letter to the churches of his day. And he's telling them this wonderful vision of what's going to happen when God makes all things right again. But they didn't just hear it as something that would happen in the future. So let's put ourselves in the place of our sisters and brothers of the first century. Life is not always easy, right? There is pain. There is death. There is illness. There are situations in our lives that are beyond our control. It's not that different, folks. So hear these words again, speaking to us living today. All right? So I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Now, I will tell you right here that the first time my mother attended a Bible study on Revelation and heard that, she said, I don't want to go to heaven. No ocean? She loves the ocean. But to understand the sea, for John on the island of Patmos, he was isolated, separated from people. And the sea was also in ancient times a place of great fear and chaos. So in the symbolic meaning of this is fantastic. There is no sea because with God there is no separation. There is no fear. There is no anxiety. There is no chaos. And he goes on and talks about the new city, the new Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem had been destroyed, coming out of heaven from God, ready as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he says, look, I heard a loud voice from the throne say, look, God's dwelling is here with humankind, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. So is this something we have to wait for in the future? Or is God with us right now? Right now. Because that's the promise of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us, and also of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit, that the power and presence of God are with us right now. And he will wipe the tears from our eyes. God does that now. And death will be no more, for there will be no more mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making all things new. And so now I can pull out that photo album and look at it through these eyes. That those faces that stare back at me that I don't know, they're not gone. Because God's already making things new. And you know how I know they're not gone? Because what does Hebrews chapter 12 tell me? There's this great cloud of witnesses. We're not alone. Because those who stare back at us as faces we no longer recognize are those faces in glory who are that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. You know, when I was a child, well, not a child, to my dad I'm a child. I was in my late 30s and I was on a softball team with my church. And I was catcher because I'm a good catcher. And if I don't do a good job of catching it, my body stops it really good. And I had the bruises to prove it. But the one thing and I'm a good cheerleader. But the one thing I am not is a good hitter. And so I would get up at the plate, and I was really always hoping for a really bad pitcher, because I would just stand there and wait to see if I got to walk. If I didn't swing, I'd be in good shape. And I got to walk several times. But this one particular time, my dad decided to come watch. And so he's up in the stands. There weren't that many up in the stands. But my dad was there, and he was rooting me on, and I could hear him yelling and calling out my nickname, which was really embarrassing. And I'm standing there at the plate, and this pitch comes. And I swung, and I got to first base. I actually got to first base. And my dad's yelling from the stands, that's my girl, that's my girl. Now, mind you, you would have thought I hit a home run. But I got to first base. See, that's what I envision with this great cloud of witnesses. Because in the text here, it's the picture is an Olympic game. And there these cloud of witnesses are up in the stands, and the runners are on the field, and there are all these people yelling and encouraging them to keep on running. And it tells us also that we're to shed those hindrances. Now, hindrances aren't our sin. Those are things like doubt and fear and, oh, I'm too old. How many times I hear that? I'm aging and I can't be of any more use anymore. But that's a hindrance to us running the race. These are things that make us drop out of the race. And I love the fact that when you look at the great cloud of witnesses, you can turn to the pages in Scripture. One of my favorite stories in Scripture are the people that God uses who are senior citizens. Moses, Abraham, Sarah, Elizabeth. God wasn't done yet. Or how about doubt? Doubt can make us drop out of the race, but you can go to Thomas. And Thomas just asked some really good questions, and he made the most astounding declaration of faith. Or how about depression? Elijah is a great example. He has this wonderful victory for the Lord, and then Jezebel puts out a contract on his life, and he runs away to hide, and he's by himself in a cave, and he's telling God, I'd be better off dead because there's no one left but me. And then in this sheer silence, God speaks to him, tends to his needs, and sends him off on something new. The pages of our scriptures are full of stories of those saints that are surrounding us in glory, that cloud of witnesses. And it's not just the people in the scriptures. We can go to bookstores and get the stories of Thomas Merton and Henry Nouwen and Mother Teresa and read their stories of faith. Or we can open our hymnals to the slave trader that discovered amazing grace. Or to the father who lost all his children, who sings It Is Well With My Soul. Or the blind woman who sang of blessed assurance. As we go through this great cloud of witnesses, there are so many whose stories can encourage us. And you know, some of them are right here in this room. In fact, we're all part of that communion of saints we confess we believe in the Apostles' Creed. We're all saints. There's this great story just of this little boy who goes to church with his grandfather one Sunday, and he was amazed and in awe of the sanctuary. And he looked around, and there were all these stained glass windows, and in those windows were depictions of people. And he said to his grandpa, Grandpa, who are all those people? And his grandfather said, well, it's St. Matthew and St. Luke and St. John and St. Mark and St. Paul and a whole bunch of other saints. And they get home, and he tells his mom and dad about this great time he had at church, and told them all he had learned and about the beautiful windows. And his dad, testing his knowledge, said, well, then, son, what is a saint? And the boy thought, a saint is somebody who lets the light shine through. I love that definition of a saint, because when we celebrate All Saints Day, we are remembering those who have run the race and kept the faith. But they are those people that surround us and encourage us because we're saints too. We don't have to wait until we're in glory. You know, Paul, in almost all of his letters, refers to the people in the cities he writes to as saints. Saints are those who let the light of Christ shine through. We are all saints, and we are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. So today, as we're receiving Holy Communion, take a moment and give thanks for the people who let the light of Christ shine through them and encouraged your faith. Give thanks for them, whether they are alive or they're in glory. And also think about who in your life might you be the one that the light of Christ shines through, that you lead to Christ, and that you encourage. So one more thing about that photo album. One of the things with our photo album is a lot of those pictures were taken at the table. We're eating or doing something with food through time. And in one of my mother's albums are pictures of us eating with her family. And my grandparents had this beautiful oak dining room table that would seat 8 of us. And when lots of people came, my grandfather had this big honking plank that he would lay across the table so it would seat 15 to 20 people. And we would have these wonderful meals. How many of you just love table fellowship? Oh my gosh, what memories are at the table? Well, you know, that same dining room table sits in my mother and dad's dining room today. I have eaten at that table for 54 years. And I think of all the people that have come through that table. Last year, I was at home visiting my folks, and my brother's married to a woman who has 3 grown children, and I call them my nephews anyway, because they're wonderful young men. And so one of them brought his girlfriend to dinner at my grandparents' table. And we got to talking and discovered from my nephew that his mother had not yet met his girlfriend. His mother's family had not yet met his girlfriend. We were the first to meet his girlfriend. And when we asked him why, he says, because I know she'd be welcomed here. Be welcomed here. Because she had tattoos and ear piercings and all those sorts of things. And funky colored hair. And actually, I was really surprised when she said that, because that usually drives my mother crazy. But she was welcome there, because that table has stories. Because I can't even count the number of people that have been at that table. But countless people, friends and family, welcomed around the table. Today, we come to the table. And we share at a table that's not as old as this table is, but a table that's 2,000 years old. A great cloud of witnesses who have sat around this table and shared their stories of faith and who witness to us today. And we come around this table to eat. And folks at other churches come around this table to eat. There's always room. That plank is really big in heaven. And there's a lot of room at the table, and everyone is welcome. I love All Saints Day, a time to remember those who have shared their faith with us, to remember that we are part of essentially a relay. The baton is passed from generation to generation, part of a big family who share a common table and a common faith. So as we go from this place, let us again this day give thanks for those who have let the light of Christ shine through their lives. And may we let the light of Christ shine through ours, that the table might grow. Thanks be to God. Amen.